Okay, this morning we'll be in the third epistle of John, the little one in the back right before we hit Jude and then the Revelation. I'll read it first. It says in verse 1, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you have done good well. Because that, for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us in malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that they would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has good report of all men of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write to you. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name." Okay, let's go back and see what we have to say about this. We know John wrote an awful lot about love, but now he's talking about some other things. And you know, sometimes love is not hugging somebody's neck. There's a lot of forms of love. And he's talking about some correction things in here. But he's speaking to John. He's speaking of himself, the elder to the well-beloved Gaius. Now this person, Gaius, has not been identified by anybody throughout history. Just another man was in the church, someone who was a follower of God. Okay?
Common man.
Just a common man. Simple man. "Whom I love in the truth." And then verse 2, he goes on to say, "Beloved, I wish above all things," and it should say, "I pray to God with respect to all things, that you prosper." The word "mayest" is a doubt word, and it is not in the original writings. If you say it may or maybe or might or could, you know, those words are added words 99.9% of the time. They're added words and they lend out. Do you think Jesus went to the cross that he might win somebody? It was a done deal before he did it. But if you don't understand that those words are added, then you just keep speaking doubt in your mind. When you read it, you're reading doubt right into your mind. You've got to learn to kick those words out when you read it, okay?
It's the subtle things.
It's the subtle things. See, the things that causes the greatest damage to your house, those little creatures called termites, they don't come in with a wrecking ball, do they? They crawl up under the foundation and chew away until one day you walk through the room and fall through the floor. And that's exactly what they've done to the truth of God with this religious stuff that man has made up over the centuries. They've changed a little bit and then a little bit and a little bit more until they've just destroyed the foundation under the church. Now it's a humanistic church. It's not a spiritual church. That's just the way it is. But he said that you prosper. He did all this. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even as what? What's it say?
It says your soul prosper.
Well, the word soul isn't right. If you look up the word, it's suke. And the very first thing it says is spirit. That your spirit prospers. Now the word prospers, guess what it means? It says, the Greek language here says, to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey. I want your journey to be, you know, prosperous And expeditious, that means it's expedited quickly. Just go on and finish your journey. It's not talking about getting wealthy. It's not talking about that. Most people want to tie that prosper with prosperity and financial things. You think God's concerned about money? It's ridiculous, but see, that's the humanistic view of things. It's about money. It's about natural things. God is a spirit. He isn't worried about any of this stuff out here. And He don't need any of it. He don't need any of it. But people need it. Verse 3 goes on and says, the first word should be because, instead of force. Because I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, even as you not walk, but live in truth. As you live in truth. See, every time you hear the word walking, it's talking about the way you live your life. And you're walking in truth, you're living truth. Even if you do believe, do you think if a dog out there running down the street thought he was a cat, you think he'd run around barking? Do you have to convince him what he is? Okay. But see, as humans, we think we're way ahead of the game, but yet we have believed the lie all the way from the Garden of Eden that we're just human beings. We are spiritual beings from the very beginning. We began in God, and we're going to return to God. Okay? And we have to be convinced that we've bought the lie. How many people have a struggle with not accepting the fact that they truly are spiritual beings? See, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, not human beings having a spiritual experience. Everything's flipped. We got to realize, if I don't believe that I'm a child of God, do you think I'll act like a child of God? If I think I'm a baby of God, guess what I'm going to act like? Wah, 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 all the time. We have to learn to accept responsibility for our lives. Anybody in the natural, when you have children, you want your children to become healthy, productive members of society. True or false? Okay. You think God's any different? He wants us to be healthy, happy, prosperous, productive members of the kingdom of God. Well, we can't as long as we think we're just mere human beings. Because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. We can't get in there. See, because it's in here. Didn't Jesus teach in Luke 17:20? Lo, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. It's not up there in the sky. It's not underneath something. It's within you. It's in your spirit. It's in the realm of the spirit. And if we don't believe what we're saying, we're going to do everything else. And when people look at you, what are they going to say about you? You walk around saying you're a child of God, but you're acting like a child of the devil. What are you? You're a hypocrite. And everybody's going to say, well, here's another hypocrite, another religious hypocrite. See, we got to be different. We don't have to be weirdos, but we have to live the truth. That's all. Just be who you be.
If you're being who you be, they've already classified and judged you as a weirdo.
That's okay. Because you know what? They don't have authority to do anything. See? Our Father's the only one with authority. He hasn't given authority to do anything to us. If He had, we wouldn't be here, would we? We'd be dead.
Is it their interpretation or judgment? Is that mistranslated word?
Yep. See, they don't know what the word judgment means. Because the judgment that I receive from God was not guilty. That's why He went to the cross. And didn't Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do? Well, if He asked the Father to forgive us, do you think He didn't? I mean, that's absurd. So He gave us a not guilty, and yet they're still feeling guilty because they're still living under the law. Condemnation. That's the way they live. If that's what they want, I mean, you got to let them have what they want.
Not too many of them have an answer for that either, do they?
No. They'll usually get mad and flip you off or cuss you out. If that's considered an answer.
Is that a cop out?
I think I understand what they're saying.
I mean, this is a cop out that they can't deal with it.
So they can't deal with it.
Yeah. Emotions.
They don't have common sense growing in their garden. Okay. Verse 4, where we left off, right? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children live in the truth. Why? Because, see, once you begin to live in the truth, you have no more issues in life. All these issues that the world throws at us can no longer bother you once you come to know who you are. Once Jesus, when Jesus knew who he was and where he came from and what his mission was, did he have any more issues? Did they do things to him? Yeah. But did he have any issue with it?
No.
See? It's all right because it's what the Father wants. Whatever the Father wants, that's what I say okay with. Okay? And that's the thinking you have to have in your mind to overcome this world. See, overcoming this world, most people say, you've overcome the world. They think you've out here and whipped all the people. That's not it. The world is the way you think. The worldly way of thinking. And when you've overcome that world, you've put on that mind of Christ, there's no longer any controversy.
You're at peace.
See? The voice of another, they won't hear. I won't listen to what they say because I know it's not the truth. Once you hear the truth, you'll never be able to swallow that pill of a lie again. You'll never swallow it again. Now you're free. Verse 5, beloved, you do faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren and to strangers. He said, you're doing faithfully. Whatever you do, he said, I'm hearing this. Whatever you do the same, whether it's a brother in the Lord or somebody, it's just somebody on the street you don't even know. If you're helping somebody, what's the difference? Does it make a difference? It doesn't make a bit of difference. If you feel the need to help somebody, then go do it. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. That's up to you. Verse 6 says, which have borne witness or testified of your what? King James says charity. The word is love. It's agape. He said, which have borne witness or testified of your love before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. Okay. Help people on their journey. It doesn't mean to help them get from this town to the next town. It's talking about in growth and maturity. Let them understand something. Sometimes when we say things to people, we say things that are strange when they hear it because they've never heard it before. They might have been in church all their life, but they never heard the truth because it was man's ideas.
Just what I was saying this morning, if you live like it always was, mm-hmm. That's what they're doing.
Yep.
You're not going to live like it is.
What it really is.
Right.
And that's exactly
what disrupts their world.
And sometimes you need your world turned upside down so you can get you out of your rut. So you can get a chance to see what the truth really is. If I listen to preachers on TV, and there's people that do that, that's all they do is listen to preachers on TV, like your mom when she's bedfast or something. And I understand that, they can't get out. But there's people go to church, and some people just don't want to go to church, but they'll sit and listen to it, and they believe it as the truth, and they have no way of justifying or, proving that what was said was true.
Question.
They got no way of questioning and finding out what the truth is. They just accept it because they heard somebody with a tie say, this is the way it is.
Well, you know, that's fine. I mean,
we were there once.
If you have your ears open, you do start questioning.
Right. But until then,
you're not going to.
And you can't be upset with people that are in that situation because if God wanted them to hear, what would they do? It here. And it says, no one can hear or see except God create the hearing ear and the seeing eye. So if they can't see and hear, you can tell them something and you might be the one to help them on their journey here. But if they reject it, just walk on, leave them alone. So, love you, brother. See you later.
I went to the Methodist lady. She's probably 75 years old. Election day.
Mm-hmm.
And she understood everything I said. Been a Methodist devout. Or life. She understood everything I said and agreed with it. And that was pretty neat, you know. So she knew God a whole lot better than most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Maybe she has some experience.
Yeah.
And again, maybe there's another explanation too. Sometimes people say, yeah. Yeah. And he ain't got a clue. Look in their eyes.
When they say, that's interesting. Hey.
Say sometimes it's that way. You know, look in their eyes. It'll tell you if they really, there's a light flickering or not, you know. Sometimes there's just no, like I say, there's some movement there, but the squirrel cage isn't spinning. Hamster died.
Yeah. Well, I just heard him talk for a few minutes.
Yes, it's hard to judge it that quickly.
He's spiritually connected.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, and I said, I'd like to talk to you outside. She came outside with me, and I talked to her, and she said, absolutely. You understood it.
Good. All you can say. Yeah. That's all you can say is good. Hope they get it. You know, hope they do.
That's great.
Okay, verse 7, it says, because not for, but concerning or regarding his name, okay? The word sake ain't there. For his name, okay? Regarding his name, his nature and character, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Today, how many preachers you got running around with this? It's all they're after. It's all they're after. We built this place here. People told me, said, well, when you get the real church built, you got to make them call you pastor and you've got to start requiring to pay their tithes and everything. Hey, there's nothing in this book from God that ever said you have to pay tithes. You don't have to. It's what do you want to do? Abraham gave them because it was from here. Hey, no one told him to. And Melchizedek, who was a precursor of us seeing Christ, seeing Jesus walking, he received what Abraham gave him, a tithe. And then the Jews came along a few years later and said, hey, that's a good idea. We can make some money. So they start taking the tithes, the Levitical priesthood. And Paul comes along in Hebrews 7 and said there's two priesthoods. Levitical priesthood takes your tithes. But the Melchizedek priesthood receives. Just whatever you lay there, that's good enough. Because that's what Father deemed necessary for you to have. Simple. As simple as that. Don't make no difference. It's up to God. And see, they didn't take anything from the Gentiles. They just went and helped them. We therefore ought to, what? And when it says receive such, it says we should receive hospitality from ones of this sort. So we should receive it. He's saying we should receive from people who are out there to help. Do you know how many people, that one of the greatest prides there is to refuse someone to help you?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's in monetary stuff.
Yeah, it's not all monetary, but I mean, they won't let anybody help them because of their arrogance and pride. Yeah. I don't need no help. I can do it myself. Okay. Really? We'll see. But he said we ought to receive that hospitality that in from ones of this sort in order that we become fellow helpers to the truth. That's how you do it. You have to give as well as receive. If you can't do both, you're not going to be a fellow helper with the truth because you have to go both ways. But he said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, I hate that name, it's hard to pronounce, who loves to have the preeminence, or his name literally is Dis, or Jupiter, or Zeus. He's a pagan worshiper. He's proud and arrogant. Speaks of idolatry. You know, they're the idol. Okay? They love to have the preeminence. You know how many preachers today love to have the preeminence? Want to get up there in their $1,000 shoes, suits, and their alligator shoes, and strut around like a peacock. And they got people out there that can't afford to buy gas to get there. Hey, something wrong with that picture. Yep. I had an old man that early on, before we ever started ministry, Tom Agee, and he shared some things with me. He was from up around Youngstown. And he said, Dave, sometimes you'll have to just take the money out of the kitty and give it to him. You just take it out and give it to him. He said, sometimes I've told people, don't pay anything. If you can't afford it, don't shellout your family for anything. Just give it back to them. He said, you'll never regret it. I've never had to have it yet. Just give it away. And that's the greatest gift you got, is giving it away. It's a gift to be able to give it away. And he was right about that. And he come down one of the last times we got to see him. He came down, we was having a meeting here. There was a whole bunch of ministers came in. And I think it was about 10 or 12 preachers came to this meeting, and from all of Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan and several other places, and North Carolina, and from all over anyway. When we got done, we went in and sat in our living room in the front room, and Tom, his name was Tom Agee, and Tom said, can I say something, Dave? And I said, well, sure, Tom. Go right ahead. He said, you know, one time, I didn't think you was going to make it. He thought I was going to hell. He said, but you know what? I think God's got a place for you. I said, Tom, it makes me feel so good that you let me in. We got a good laugh out of it. That's the last time we got to see him before he died. He was a sweetheart. But Tom wasn't one to suck up the preeminence. He'd get out of limelight as much as he could. But anyway, after the preeminence among them, received us not as a teacher or as teachers. So even though they had the ability and was doing what was right, he didn't want it because he didn't want to give up the notoriety. And I've been blessed to know several of those. Several of them. I know a lot of the other ones too, a lot more of the others. Verse 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he does, prating or bad-mouthing, is what it should say, against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive us as a teacher, the brethren, and forbids or prevents them that would, and casts them out of the church. Yeah. So you're a heretic. Don't hang around.
Just kill him.
My own dad was, that's what he said, wasn't it? Man said about me, he said, you want me to just kill him? Of course, he was talking about with his tongue, because he thought he had preeminence. He didn't get there, and you know what? He's dead a long time now. So, and that man stood and told my own father, my own natural father, that if you fellowship with me, you'll damn your soul to hell. And he continued to fellowship with that. I said, really? He finally come out of it. But that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Okay, verse 11. Beloved, said follow or imitate. That word follow is imitate or mimic. Mimic not the ones that are evil. Don't mimic or imitate the ones that are evil. But the ones that are good, the one that does good is from God. But he or the one that does evil has not seen God. Now notice he didn't say anything about not having any relationship to God. He just said he hadn't what? Hadn't seen him yet. He hadn't realized. And see, when you can see God, you know what you see when you look in the eyes of God?
Yourself.
Reflection of yourself. Look in someone's eyes close. You'll see yourself when you look into them. So if they've seen God, they've seen who they really were. And that's why they're doing the evil things. They just haven't seen it. God hasn't opened their eyes yet. It's okay. It's meant to be. Demetrius, and that means belongs to God, or belongs to corn, or belongs to the Word. Demetrius belongs to the Word. Has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. He said, I had many things to write, but I will not through ink and pen write to you. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. What does that say to you? He said, I'm not going to write to him, but I'm going to talk to you face to face. Okay, but there's another word I'm thinking. A little confrontation. Confrontation is healthy. It's healthy confrontation as long as it's not done in anger to confront people. You know, you're not mad at anybody. You just say, hey, we need to talk about something. Maybe we misunderstood something between each other. We need to talk. That's a confrontation. Anytime when two parties disagree, it's a confrontation. But it doesn't have to be mad. It doesn't have to be angry.
Okay? You need to kiss and make up.
Sure. Sure. I had a guy just past week just absolutely blew a cork on me, and I sat there and looked at him and laughed at him. And the next day, you know what he did? When I saw him, he came up to me and grabbed me, hugged me, and kissed me on the neck. Said, I love you. I could have blew up on him. What would have happened? Probably never spoke again the rest of their lives. I just laughed and sat there and looked at him. And that's the way you deal with these things. You can't respond with anger. Anger is what my wife gave me years ago. The wind that blows the light out of your mind. Can't think right when you're angry.
Doesn't violence begin violence?
It sure does. It sure does. But to finish this up, he says, I shall shortly see you, but we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Friends salute or welcome you. And he says, greet or welcome the friends by name. Welcome them by name.
That means a lot. I learned that in working. I'm not sure everybody else has it. They've worked with the public.
Learn their names.
If you pick up their name and you use that through the conversation, that means a lot to them.
It makes them feel special.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just like you're dealing with someone as
a number.
Just a person out there. But if you end that conversation, well, thank you, Dave, very much for you helping this thing. They know that you've kept that first part of the conversation in your mind, because I'll say, my name is Dave, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
You keep that through the whole thing. You've been attentive to them through the whole conversation.
It's been personal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have a relationship if it's not personal? It's not a relationship, is it?
Some people say they have 600 friends on Facebook.
They recognize that name on the page. Any questions or comments or rocks to throw, we accept them all.